There's a British TV show I enjoy watching called Doctor Who. It's got a lot of science fiction devices in it. And one they've had in multiple episodes, they call a perception filter. And in the show, this machine makes you invisible. It doesn't change you at all, but it makes it so the people around you don't want to look at you. They try to avoid seeing you. You become that thing that's just out of the corner of their eye. And so you essentially become invisible. There might be some sort of giant monster, but because the monster has one of these filters, despite being even in the middle of London, people are going about their day like nothing's wrong. And if you want to see whatever's hidden by this perception filter, you really have to focus on it to the exclusion of everything else. And in many ways, Jesus' death, which we focus on today, it almost feels like it has one of those perception filters on it. I know many churches that have taken down and removed their crucifixes. Some are even going so far as to take down their crosses. They've removed mentions of Christ's blood or his sacrifice. Many will emphasize the resurrection without talking at all about the crucifixion. And others will speak of Christ's death in big church words, like crucifixion, redemption, or atonement, words that sound foreign to people in the world today, and words that let us talk about this event in a detached, clinical manner, without really thinking about what's happening here. It reminds me of being in a hospital and hearing staff talking about someone lying on the bed right in front of them, as if they weren't even there. And even in Jesus' own day, the apostles didn't want to hear Jesus talk about his death. Peter denies this could ever happen. The only people that we hear standing there with Jesus up until the end are John, the beloved disciple, his mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and a few other women. And I think part of the reason we don't want to gaze upon the crucifixion, the reason we don't want to face Jesus as he hangs there, bloodied and dying on the cross, is our own guilt. In the medieval church, there were people who blamed the Jewish leaders for his death. Today, I've heard people blame the Roman soldiers and their government for it. People want to pin the blame for this on someone else, on anyone else. But the truth is, we're all guilty of this. It's because of our sins that Christ willingly gave himself up to be sacrificed on the cross. The crucifixion is painful and awkward to see because we don't want to face the fact that our sins contributed to not only the death of a perfectly innocent man, but the death of the greatest man that ever lived and who will ever live. It's tough. But it's of the utmost importance that we face Christ on the cross, that we spend time contemplating what he went through. On one level, Christ on the cross is the ideal, the icon for how we should be living our lives as Christians. The world scorned him. He's gone through the pain of the passion to now be given such an anguishing and humiliating death. He's got this feeling that almost the whole world, save a few individuals, has turned its back on him. But despite that betrayal, despite a lack of our love for him, his love for us never wavers. He dies for the same humanity that kills him. You can't get a more beautiful example of love than this. And It's also important to look at the crucifixion because when we look further and further into it, we can see that it's not something only in the past or something that only teaches us how to live. This historic event transfigures our sin and shame. It's tough to look at Christ knowing the sins we've committed, the wrongs we've done. But the longer we look at Christ on the cross, the more we start to see that it's through this event, through his sacrifice on the cross, that those same sins are forgiven. As we look further, we start to see many of the other shades and aspects of what he did here. This is one of those events in the Bible that we could spend lifetimes studying and praying about and still only barely scratch the surface. It's more than just the death of a man. It's a death of God, the death of the infinite. So as we go about our day, try to ignore that perception filter and reflect upon what it is we're commemorating here. Christ has died. It's a sorrowful and painful death. We may get forgiveness of our sins out of it, but that doesn't just take away the pain or the sorrow that his loved ones experienced. What we can do is be thankful for this and spend time in prayer remembering this. We can't go back in time and be at the foot of the cross with John and Mary and the others trying to accompany Jesus in this his darkest hour. But we can bring the foot of the cross into our own lives. It'll be tough. It won't be easy, but we will be the better for it. In the words of St. Augustine, the deformity of Christ forms you. If he had not willed to be deformed, you would not have recovered the form which you had lost. Therefore, he was deformed when he hung on the cross, but his deformity is our beauty. In this life, therefore, let us hold fast to the deformed Christ. Amen.